Today on the Rise of the Challenge podcast.
Miserable for the rest of my life. And then I feel like I got a second chance when I started managing my diabetes. And I remembered what it felt like to feel good again. And I just didn't want that second chance to kind of be for nothing. And so I started sharing my life online, and people would reach out to me and be like, oh, I never thought I could do that.
Welcome to the Rise to the Challenge podcast. Joined today, she's a type 1 diabetic lifestyle influencer. It's Paloma Guerrero. How are you doing today, Paloma?
I'm doing well. Happy to see you.
We're so excited to have you on the show to talk about your rise to the challenge. What we like to do with all of our guests is go right to the beginning. Talk about where you're from and what you like doing growing up.
I live in Arizona. I like to call myself Miss Arizona because I was born and raised here and I will just never leave. But I grew up in a small town on a chicken farm, and just lived a quiet life up until now. Now I'm a city girl.
What did you like about that farm life? Did you like it, or was it challenging at times being on the farm?
I did not like it. I always had big city dreams, and always was had stars in my eyes. And as soon as I turned 18, I moved to San Diego. And once I got the dream I always wanted, I'm like, well, actually, I really like the farm life and the simple life. I went back to Arizona.
What about Arizona is something that you think is special, something that maybe people don't know about, a hidden aspect of Arizona?
Well, I'm such an outdoorsy girl, and it's just the weather is so good most of the year, and just you're surrounded by mountains and beautiful scenery, and I just always feel like I'm in a postcard.
Well, you did post something about the weather being cool, but your dogs had to go outside. Is there a spot that you enjoy going outside to? You talked about the mountains. We all have that certain spot that we enjoy going to.
Yeah, you might not think that Arizona has much water, but there's a lake here that I really like, and I go hiking there, and it's a lake nestled amongst the mountains. So it's the best of both worlds.
As you're growing up, who are the biggest influencers for you, or motivators, or people that you inspired by?
Ooh, I've never been asked this. I don't know. I think probably just my big sister. She's 8 years or 7 years older than myself, and we have literally nothing in common. And we were never friends as kids or younger, but you always have stars in your eyes for your older siblings.
Was that something that was tough with the big age difference? Because if you're in a different school zone or a different environment all the time, where she might be going off to college or moving on, you're still in school. Was that kind of hard to be around, and where you kind of had to find friends to kind of play that role of the older sibling to kind of be there for you?
Yeah, I always felt like a only child. And it's funny, I actually went to my 10-year high school reunion, and I said something about one of my siblings, and someone's like, I thought you were an only child. Yeah, because my sister is 7 years older, my brother's 14 years older. So I, my parents waited a long time in between kids. And so I did feel like it was just me. I was an only child.
As you're older now, how is the relationship with them? Is the age difference still there, or you're finding maybe more common grounds and stuff?
I never thought that I would be close with my sister. But now that we're adults, it's all the same, even though she is married and has kids and I call her every day, and that is my built-in best friend, even though I didn't take advantage of it when I was younger.
I grew up as an only child, so I had to think about my friends and all of that. Even as I'm getting older, it's like, okay, friends, you're going to be that sibling for me, even though I don't have any. So it's like I treat them like that, but to me, it's like they know that it's coming from a good place. Like I'm asking for it because I don't have that person. And my parents always will blame each other. Like, oh, he didn't, my dad didn't want kid ex more kids. My mom, like, it was both your guys' decision, not one or the other.
Yeah, my parents actually like flipped a coin to see if they were gonna try to have me, and my dad won. So here
Don't
I
know if that's a good thing to hear that is because of a coin flip.
Yeah, like, well, now I know how my mom feels about me. Just kidding. But here I am.
That fun question we're asked growing up is, what is that dream job? Where you are today might not have been what you wanted to do when you were growing up, or it could have been, but what was that dream job that you were always wanting to do?
I always wanted to be in the fashion industry, and that is what I went to college for. Went to the Fashion Institute of Design, and then I did work in the industry for like I think 8 years. And on my last year of working in the industry was when I was diagnosed as an adult. So I got diagnosed while I was working in the industry, and it was just really tough to like finally achieve like my dream job and get what I always was working towards, and then be diagnosed with diabetes and felt like my whole world was like falling apart. But luckily, I started Glitter Glucose on Instagram, and from there it was just like perfect timing of the influencer world was just emerging. Like back then, influencer wasn't even like a term people used, but I started sharing my life online and eventually started making money from it. And I'm like, okay, I got my dream job in the fashion industry that I always wanted, but I have this on the other end that could really turn into something. I don't know what, but could be something. So let me put my all into this and see where it goes.
Was there any specific moment or item that played a big role that influenced your fashion, love, and passion?
No, I just was always like a girly girl and wearing big fluffy dresses, even on the farm. And I remember like in preschool, I would wear these big fancy dresses, and the teacher told my mom that I couldn't wear that anymore because the other girls were like jealous. And my mom was like, no, she's still gonna wear whatever she wants to. And that I think, like, even though that I have that memory, even though it's from preschool, but I think back and think, like, what if my mom wouldn't have said that? And that could have changed the trajectory of my future.
That would be interesting to see if that specific moment, what would have happened and where you would be today. Because, like you mentioned, if she said a different answer, you might not be doing the things that you're doing today.
Right. So I'm glad I'm on the path that I was meant to be on.
Was there any part of the fashion industry that challenged you the most, that really kind of showed a side of you that you never knew you had in you?
Felt like school, like college, was so challenging because every, like, I was always the most creative and the most fashionable person at my high school. But every person there is the most fashionable and creative person from their high school. So I felt like, wow, this is really pushing me to like level up and challenge myself. I thought I was like so cool, but really, like, I could only go up from here. So yeah, school was really hard, but in a good way.
In those 8 years before the transition to the next part of your chapter, is there a memorable moment that you had? Something that plays a big role in that experience you had?
Yeah, so my first like real job in the industry was part of it was traveling throughout the whole Southwest to like all of their retail locations. So it kind of gave me like the travel bug. I started going to these surrounding states and I racked up quite a few like places that I had never been. And now my life's mission, if you follow me on Instagram, you might see this, is that I'm trying to visit all 50 states. But I got like my jump start in that goal from my first job of, visiting the Southwest. And then it gave me the bug to just keep going.
How many of the 50 states have you been to?
I'm at 37 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to 7 just over the summer. So we'll see how many I get to this year.
You have any plans for 2024 that you're ready to get your bags packed and ready to go?
I'm visiting some repeat states that are my favorites. But the Dakotas are on my list because I've already done most of the Midwest. So I'm like, why not do the Dakotas?
One of the big stories about your journey is something that I'm related to also as a type 1 diabetic. So let's get into that conversation. Talk about leading up to the diagnosis. Every diabetic has a different story on what happens and how we get that news. Talk about that for you. What was the pre-diabetes news like for you?
Well, I started to feel like how we all probably felt, like really tired. Like I was working a lot at the time, so I was just kind of making excuses like, of course you're tired, you're working all the time, or of course you're thirsty, you live in Arizona, and of course you're going to the bathroom all the time because you're so thirsty. And so like I had all those feelings and was just like, wow, like you have this job that you really like, and somehow you can't get yourself motivated or out of bed to like go do what you're meant to be doing. And I kind of like felt really bad about myself, and I just thought like, you're so lazy, like, why can't you just get it together? And because I was 23 years old at the time, like all my friends are out and about all the time, and I'm like in bed. And so I just felt sick for a long time until I Googled the symptoms and I went to the doctor, was like, I think I have diabetes. And he's like, yeah, you do. So.
With that news, especially being at 23, you kind of went through that journey of college and kind of the high school times. Did you really feel that impact that your life was going to change for a big time? Or were you kind of thinking, how am I still going to be able to do the things that I want to do, but now I have to add on this?
I felt, at 23 years old, you think like you know everything. And newsflash, but I felt really lost. I felt like I knew everything. I have it all figured out. And then I had this like wrench thrown in the road, and it really got me down for a long time. For like 2 years, I was miserable. I was just like not myself. I was just letting myself pout. I was like, why me? And it was such a miserable time in my life. But one day I got tired of being sick and tired and was like, okay, I need to do something about this.
I got diagnosed when I was 12. So I'm 10 years prior. So I'm like in that middle school age. And I kind of had that same kind of feeling for a long time, like not feeling myself. How are people going to judge me because of this? They're not going to see me as the same person as I used to be. And then until I became an adult, that's when it kind of flipped like, okay, it's not going away. Like you're just going to deal with it and get going. Did you have a big support system that was there to help you throughout your journey as a diabetic?
At first, I thought like I'm an adult, I can do this myself, like, and honestly, that's how I was treated also, like through my like doctor. Like I was sent home that day and was like, okay, you have diabetes, go pick up some insulin and and check your blood sugar. And I'm like, okay, I guess this isn't like that big of a deal if that's all they said to me. But I never felt better. So because I was checking my blood sugar maybe like once a week. I
Oh.
was giving myself like they had only gave me long acting insulin, and so I had told myself like this is how you're gonna feel for the rest of your life. This is just your life. You just feel bad from here on out. And at that time, my sister was in nursing school and started picking up on like I don't think we're doing this right. And so luckily that's when she's like, okay, why don't we go to like an endocrinologist? Because I just got diagnosed like at a primary care and that was it. And so she's like, I think we need to see someone, a specialist. And once I did, they're like, oh my God, this is what you've been doing. This is your regimen. Like, no wonder you feel awful.
That's so concerning that even like a primary care doctor thinking that that's how you like solve it. Like, oh, because when a diabetic hears that, they're like, they were trying to kill you almost, like with taking long acting insulin and all that. And like technology has changed and how like once a week blood sugars, like I would be, if I told my family I was doing it, they'd probably be shocked if I was, but I probably have done some worse things in my time as a diabetic that they know about. With your what you do now, especially traveling, plays a big part in taking care of diabetes. How has that challenged you? But what has it done to make you excited to show other diabetics that follow you? Nothing can stop you just because of this di by having diabetes. You can go out there and do whatever you want. What's that been like for you?
That's what really motivates me to keep going is the fact that I really thought that my life was kind of over and that I was going to feel miserable for the rest of my life. And then I feel like I got a second chance when I started managing my diabetes and I remembered what it felt like to feel good again. And I just didn't want that second chance to kind of be for nothing. And so I started sharing my life online, and people would reach out to me and be like, oh, I never thought I could do that. I never thought I could work out. Or I got a message from a mom that sticks with me, and it's like, I'm out here traveling by myself. And she said that her son, like a kid, wanted to go to a sleepover, and she almost said no because she was too nervous. But then she saw me like living my life and traveling, and she's like, you know what? If I think he can go.
Oh.
And so it's just like little things like that, that like just by you like living your life and showing people what's possible, you never know in what capacity it can inspire somebody.
Do you feel the pressure having that online presence and kind of having trying to figure out, oh, I have to be perfect? Or do you like to show the vulnerability and show that it's not always 100% perfect?
I used to feel a lot of pressure before because, so obviously my online handle is Glitter Glucose, which is diabetes, a
Yeah.
diabetes persona. And when I first started the persona, it was 100% diabetes. And so 100% of my followers lived with diabetes. And then it kind of happened where I would just talk about diabetes, and I did feel that pressure of like, I have to show like everything, related to diabetes, and I can't talk about anything else. But at some point, my audience was like, okay, we get it. Like, you have diabetes, we have diabetes. Like, what else can I do? And it opened a door for me to just share anything. And I honestly don't even talk that much about diabetes on my platform anymore, but people who follow me know I live with diabetes. So they like see me living my life, having fun, going out for drinks, traveling, like working out. And even though I'm not specifically like, look what my blood sugar is, or speaking to diabetes, in the back of their head, they're like, oh, she's like me.
Yeah. It just shows that, like, we're all human. And yeah, we have this one thing going on, but we're still out there living our lives. It's kind of like, I think the diabetes community is so valuable nowadays with everyone sharing what they're doing to kind of, like you're doing, inspiring people to go live out their lives as a normal human being. Just, we have a condition we have to take care of. And we see athletes, we see actors, musicians, influencers. We're all doing everything out there.
Yeah, and I kind of look at it as, now my audience is probably like 50% people with diabetes, 50% like, people who don't live with diabetes, but everybody has something in their life that could be a crutch, whether it's an illness, whether it's like mental health, whether it's like a divorce, whatever it may be, everybody has something that could get in the way of them living their full potential. And I want to show people that, like, whatever it is that's in your way, like, you can live beyond it.
When you're creating content, is there a lot of planning that goes into it? Do you know, especially during the holidays, that's a time where influencers, content creators are really trying to, what can I do for a whole day into a short amount of time? Are you a planner with it, or do you like the whatever happens, happens?
I used to be such a planner, and just like everything was like very calculated. And I think after COVID, like I kind of just gave up on the planning because there wasn't really like anything going on. And then I've just kept that like lackadaisy mentality. And because I'm not really like trying to necessarily educate in a traditional sense of like, here's what happens with, diabetes or whatever. It's like, here's what happens when a girl travels by herself across the country. And so it's definitely not planned out as much as I could find a happy medium. But right now I'm very not planning anything.
Do you have a favorite type of content that you like to post about? Is it traveling? Is it doing a certain activity? Is it with the people surrounding you? What kind is your go-to that you like to do?
Really like to post outdoor things because I wasn't always like an outdoor girl, and I was always like thinking like I could never be that girl that goes hiking. I could never even think about paddleboarding or like those situations I never would have found myself in. And so I want to show people like if I can do it, you can do it. So that's definitely my favorite thing to post about.
Is there anything in the horizon that is on that bucket list with projects, work, anything that you're excited about coming up?
I'm definitely going to be doing a lot of traveling again this year. So I think that, I should say that my followers are not, I don't look at them as followers. Like I look at them as friends. And when I go somewhere, do something, it's like, come on, guys, we're all going.
Yeah.
So that's always fun for me and gives me the most joy because, like, they're packing their virtual bags and going with me. So get ready, y'all, because we're going some places this year. I'm actually going to Europe for the first time this
Oh,
year.
wow.
So that's going to be, I like I said, I call myself Miss Arizona, but when I started traveling the 50 states, I'm like, I've upgraded to Miss USA, and now I'm going international. So now I'm like Miss Universe.
I was going to ask is once you did the 50 states, is it going to be every continent now or every country in the world? And now it's nice saying you're saying Europe. Where in Europe are you going?
I'm going to Barcelona, London, and Paris. And so my dream, my whole life as like a little girl who loved fashion, was to go to Paris. And this April, I get to go, and I'm so excited.
All your followers are going to be like, where's the videos? Like, we want videos of
Yes.
everything that you're doing.
And I will be showing it all.
Something our listeners like is you talked about the journey you've been on, being a love for traveling, a digital content creator, a diabetic. But what are some things that maybe your followers don't know about you? Stuff that you enjoy that they haven't seen you post, or you do with your loved ones, or anything that maybe people would be shocked to know.
I do a lot of cooking.
Okay.
I have a boyfriend and he is very lucky because I love to cook and everything I make, he's like, "Oh my gosh, I could eat this every day. This is so good." I'm like, "You say that about everything." And then my house is kind of the go-to house for friends where they're like, will be like, "Can you make me that salad I like? I'll be right there." I'm like, "Okay." So that's how I really show love is by cooking and making people feel special that
So now you're going to make a cooking platform
way.
now. You're going to share all your recipes with everyone. And now he needs to start cooking for you.
Right? He's tried. It's not ideal.
What is the go-to dish that he enjoys?
I think everybody likes my carnitas
Oh.
tacos because it takes me like all day to like roast the meat, and then I make the salsa fresh and like my Spanish rice. So anybody, if you ask anybody what their favorite meal is, for me, that's what it
I'm telling you, now I'm hungry. Now I just want to
is.
go eat now. The final question I'll ask you for someone that's listening to this interview based on your journey and experience, what tips or advice would you give them to overcome obstacles, accomplish their goals, and rise to the challenge?
I wish that when I was like first diagnosed, that someone would have just told me that it's going to be okay. And that may seem very basic, but when you're in it, or when even not at diagnosis, but just any time you're having a tough time with diabetes, because there's literal ups and downs, but also like mental ups and downs, and times where you're in a good place, or times where you're in burnout. And at the end of the day, like, it's always going to be okay. Like, we are essentially acting as an organ for ourselves. So we have to give ourselves a little grace and think about, wow, everyone else here is walking around with their pancreas working, and we have to do the job ourselves. So we need to give ourselves some grace.
Well, Paloma, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your rise to the challenge. You're inspiring so many people, and we are excited to see what the future looks like for you.
Thanks for having me.